I want to read a little passage from Romans 8. You don't need to look it up. Just listen. I want to tell you a bit of a story. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's interesting. Let me tell you a real quick story. This last week, and I don't know, I just kind of felt pressured time-wise. And that, you know, just kind of felt like there was too much on my plate. And the office where I work, and then I'm surrounded by oak trees. And so I can sweep the walk every day, and every day there's more leaves on the walk. And that I haven't had a chance to clean the gutters, and that which are now growing plants. I think I have a whole garden up there. And but there's no time to do it. I went in yesterday, spent a little time there before I went to an appointment for counseling and prayer. And on Saturday mornings, Bayside, for the last couple of years, I have a parking lot. And they've been using it to do a breakfast for the neighborhood behind, which is kind of a needy neighborhood. And that, and so I was actually going through day two of this week for experiencing God. And I heard a sweeping outside, so I went out. Met a young woman named Kathleen, and she said, well, she enjoys doing lawn, garden kind of stuff. And she saw that it was needed, and so she was taking care of it for me. And that Lord knew what I needed. I didn't even ask, and he takes care of it. So let me reread this passage again and think about it, because I know that there are some of us who are facing hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. Right? But here's the promise from the Lord. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's Jesus. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So would you stand with me and pray, please? Father God, we are so grateful that there is nothing, no one, no thing, no time, no place that can separate us from your love, Lord. Your love reaches into our lives and all the places that we need it to reach, Lord. The needs that are spoken, the needs that are unspoken, the health, the finances, the relationship, the emotions, whatever we need, Lord. You know our needs, and your love reaches us. We don't always get the answer that we want, and that. But truthfully, the answer that you give is better than anything that we could hope for, immeasurably better. And so now, Lord, I ask that you'd help us to worship you for who you are, the God who loves us so much. Let us praise your name. Let us sing with joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God. Sheep of his hand, just the sheep of his hand. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand.
His love is amazing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Father God, that is our prayer, that we can be, that you can be in our lives, that we can follow you, that when folks see us, they're seeing Jesus. Father God, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I remember hearing that song from Fernando Ortega before it was popular many, many, many years ago, I think at a pastor's conference. And then he came to a church out on St. Armand's and did a concert out there that me and my wife went to. It was, what a wonderful time of worship it was. Love that song. You know, speaking of that, you know, the Bible says our life is a vapor. You know, and we are in service to, if we've given our hearts and lives over to Jesus, then we are in service to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he is a God who heals one way or the other. So he's going to see us through whatever trial, whatever tribulation, whatever sickness, whatever report that we get, whatever tests. He's going to get us through that, and he's going to see us through, and he's going to heal us, or he's going to take us through the other side, and he's going to heal us, and there'll be no more crying, no more pain. Either way, we are good. Just give us Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to take 1 minute. There's some folks that I want to pray for. There's some folks here in the body that are biopsies and some tests of results that are coming back, but also there's a family, the Urban family. I got a text from mom, and some of their kids go to the school at Shepherd's Heart Christian School here, and they've got 7 kids.
Whoa.
Yes, and they have foster kids on top of that. And so they're a wonderful family, love the Lord. And dad went in for some pain in his leg. They were unsure what it was, so it was some swelling. And so it went down. They took care of it, and he sent him home. And then it started to swell up so bad, he was just screaming, the daughter told me. And so they took him back in. He said, "What do you need? I need to go to the hospital." And we don't. They honestly don't know what's going on. I went to see them yesterday. One of the boys called me. And talk to them and talk to mom, and they still don't know what's going on. And he's intubated, so he's breathing for him. His his kidneys shut down, liver has shut down, his heart has stopped already once, and they gave him the paddles. I don't know what the name for that is, but you know what I'm talking about, right? They gave him the paddles and. Kept his life going, and so we went in there to the intensive care, prayed over them and with the family, and so she just sent me a text, and I just said that we'd all take some time this morning, and we just all pray together. And so I sent out a text for everybody who goes to the church and the school, and so if you're part of this body too, and you want to get those reminders, just and those prayer requests, would you please just see me afterwards and give me your name and number, and I'll put you on that list. But I'd want to take a minute for those of you who weren't on that list. Let's all just pray for the people who are going through things that you may not know about. And let's pray for them. And let's also pray for that Urban family right now. Okay? So let's do that. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord, that you are our God, Lord. I thank you that they know you. That Clint and Alyssa know you, Lord God, as their Lord and Savior, Lord. So I know that they're right in the palm of your hand, Lord, and no one can snatch them from their Father's hands. So I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would give them your supernatural comfort, Lord God. I don't even know the words to say to them, Lord, but would you speak life and encouragement and strength, Lord, to them during this time, Lord? Would you protect them, Lord, especially in the area of their minds? They don't know what's going on. Lord, it's very confusing, Lord, very overwhelming, Lord God, but I know they trust in you. No matter what happens, Lord, they trust in you. But would you draw this whole family closer to yourself during this time? Would you protect them? We're asking, Lord, for healing, Lord. You say sometimes we have not because we ask not. We're asking for supernatural healing, Lord God, for him to go back up and to be dad to all these kids, Lord, if that's your will. And whatever your will is, we trust you in it, but we're asking for that healing, Lord God. We're asking for you to do a work right now. We're asking you to give supernatural wisdom, knowledge, insight, and wisdom to the doctors so they would know what's going on, Lord, as they don't, Lord. So please, Lord, if it's your will, Lord, we're asking for that right now in Jesus' name, Lord. But we ask you again, protect this family, comfort this family, encourage this family, Lord, and help bring this family and others to mind in the body who are struggling, Lord God, with things that... Well, you know what they are. Bring them to our minds so that we can be in constant prayer for them during the week, Lord God. We lift this family and those people up to you right now, Lord. Heal them, help them, meet them right where they're at, Lord God. Supply all their needs according to your glorious riches. We ask it in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of our Lord and Savior by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, church. I appreciate you praying with me. Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay. So we do have a couple things, too, we want to mention. If you're new here, we've got a bunch of loaves of Panera Bread. You are free to take that home. Maybe if you're struggling, you don't have enough. We've got lots of bagels, lots of goodies, lots of loaves of fresh Panera Bread. You just take it back there free in Jesus' name. You can take as much as you want. Just remember, there are other people who may need it as well. But take as much as you want. You are free to do that in Jesus' name. We don't take up tithes and offerings here, but we do receive them in the back. There's a little bird box. We don't want anybody to feel manipulated into giving. If you want to give to the Lord and tithes and offerings, then you do that. That's between you and the Lord, and you put that in that bird box. We happily receive them in Jesus' name. And thank you for all you people who have given so much for so long. What a blessing you are. Thank you for that. Also, just some things going on during the week. If anybody would like to meet for prayer, Sunday mornings here at 9 a.m., you can see Gary or Mark. Gary, are you even? I didn't see. Is Gary here? There you are. Hi, Gary. Like you sat somewhere different, but sometimes you're standing in the back. But I love to see more and more people now coming out and joining for prayer. That is awesome to see all those people just praying and seeking the Lord. I love that. That's Sunday mornings here at 9 a.m. If God has given you a heart for prayer, for others, for the community, for just please come out. We want to invite you and see Gary for more information too. We have men's and women's Bible studies on Tuesdays. The men's Bible studies are on the first and third Tuesdays, dinner at 6 p.m., and the Bible study at 6:30, we are going through the book of Ephesians, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And then also, whoa, hello. Well, and there you have it. Well, George, let me. Thank you. Well, we also have a women's Bible study going through the book of Ephesians 2, and I'll tell you that. Oh, that was quick. Show off. Anyway, that's the second Tuesday of each month. That's 6:30 to 8:30. Okay, we just want you to grow in the Lord so you can trust him more. Okay, we also have youth group. However, that's Wednesdays here, 6:30 to 8:30. However, they've decided to have a name change. Is that right, Amanda Panda? Is Amanda Panda and Josh here? I thought I saw her. Okay, with the kids. Okay, so I think this is right. They've had a name change. They've decided. Is that correct, Joe? Okay, from the Transformers youth group, they have switched it now to the Whosoever's youth group. Okay? So, yes. So, if you want information on that, it's here, 6:30 to 8:30 for Bible study and youth. Also, there's going to be a bake sale. And since Amanda Panda, I was going to ask her or Josh to stand up. Oh, I have a little piece of paper in my pocket here. All right. Thank you for that bake sale. We'll go back one. Okay, I'm bad with dates. Friday, March 1st. When is that?
Next Friday.
That's what I'm saying. It's next Friday. So next Friday for the youth from 4 to 7. You guys, this Friday. That's what I'm saying. You guys aren't listening. This Friday, they're going to be baking goods from 4 to 7 over at Amanda Panda's, I think. You got the address on here. We'll send it out on a text to the church. And so the youth are going to be baking stuff to sell for a fundraiser this upcoming Sunday, so I'm not going to bring all my free amazing Panera Bread, but you're going to buy even more baked goods, baked by the youth, for a fundraiser for them. And so we want to encourage you just to take part of that. So bring maybe an extra dollar or two and buy something sweet for yourself or to give away to your pastor. Oh, sorry. Was that out loud? Friday, I think, is from 4 to 7. It's for the youth, so they're going to come over there. Yeah. Also, we have Experiencing God Bible Study. Man, oh man, oh man. Wow, has this been awesome. I can't even tell you how awesome this has been. We've got about 20, 30 people taking this Thursday Bible study. It's a 14-week course, 6:30 to 8:30. In fact, the Lord's telling me not to say it yet. Okay. So anyway, it's a great course. Please continue to do your homework. Remain steadfast, persevere. And if the Lord's putting it on your heart that you want to take it, it's probably a little late right now, but just say, you know what, God's been putting it on my heart, and the next time you do it, we want to take it. And we'll pray about starting another one in the right time. Okay, so we are in the book of James. So if you would, get out your Bibles. And if you don't have a Bible, Jolton, Joe, would you grab some Bibles up here? And Hezekiah, would you grab some Bibles? And just raise your hand, and we will deliver a Bible right to your door.
Give me Jesus.
Okay, all right. Okay, before we get started in the book of James, as they're handing out Bibles, go to James chapter 1. There's a couple extras, stuff we handed out free. Part of our job is equipping the saints. So this is a DVD from Living Waters, 180. It's a short movie, about 30 minutes from Ray Comfort. And it's about life and about abortion. And so there's one DVD left. We ran out last week giving them away. I have one more here. It's basically going on college campuses, and people change their mind within about 30 minutes when they're presented with information on life. And so if anybody would like information on this or would like to watch this movie or to give it away, please grab it. It is very powerful, yes. It's not a namby-pamby movie, but it is powerful. Every Christian should see this movie if you have not. So if you would like to see it, I have one left. Anybody? Bueller? Okay, one. Okay, I also have one book. When we're talking about trials and tribulations, the Bible does not say when you become a Christian, you prance through the prosies and everything's going to be just roses and rainbows. There's sometimes suffering, but the Lord's going to see us through it all. And this is a book called Jesus Freaks by DC Talk, Voices and Voice of the Martyrs. Short little stories. What would you say about that book?
Yay.
You say yay. Also, very powerful, very challenging. Okay, so I have one left from last week. There we go. You give it away to you. So that was great. Okay. That will make you cry. Yes. All right. So we are in the book of James. And if you remember, it is the, I call it the machine gun of the New Testament. And the reason I do is because it is fast moving. It is powerful. There's only 108 verses in the book of James, and they are, every other verse is a command imperative. So it is rapid fire. Every other verse is just like right to your heart, piercing your heart. God's like saying, I want to talk to you. I want to speak to you. I want to get to your heart. I want you to hear. I want you to obey. I want you to follow me. It is an amazing book. It's also probably the oldest written in the New Testament, probably in the 40s, somewhere between 40 and 49 AD, just like that machine gun is probably the oldest gun in use in the military currently. Also very versatile, you remember that. Okay, so we're going to read through just the first. We are just tracking right along through the book of James in the month of February. I think we've made it all the way to verse 4. So we are cruising right along. So buckle up, because we're going crazy here. Okay, so let's start in verse 1. I'm just going to recap the first few three verses in three or four verses in a few minutes. Okay, so we started off James. Okay, who's James? Half-brother of Jesus. That's right. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love that. We talked about that a few weeks ago. You know, you're going to serve somebody. You're going to serve yourself. You're going to serve your job. You're going to serve your somebody in a relationship. But James is like saying, what we need to say is, you know what? I need to move all that aside. I need to serve God first. He needs to be first in our life. If you're wondering why things aren't working out so well for you, maybe you're serving someone else first before the Lord. Maybe you're putting something or someone before him. James is saying, I'm a servant of God. Hey, I'm not God's bro, you know. I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to decide, who are we serving? And we need to put him first. So ask yourself that question. It says, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. That word Diasperos means scattered seed. So he's talking about the early Christians. Most of them, many of them were Jews. And so he's talking about the Christian Jewish people. They were scattered because of persecution and trials and hardships. And God even used that to bring the gospel more and more places. So he's writing this letter to them. But it's also just as true for us today because we're going to be going through trials. You know what? Again, I said this last week, but you're in three places in your life right now. It means you're either going into a trial, you're in a trial, or you're coming out of a trial. Yeah. It's just a part of life. And so he's saying, we talked about trials and temptations and the differences here. He says in verse 2, consider it or count it pure joy. When you face trials of many kinds. So consider it, that Greek word again, I want you to count it pure joy, like an accounting term. I want you to rule over it in your mind, the Greek word is. Don't look at the circumstances. I want you to count it joy. And not happiness, right? Because happiness comes and goes. I want you to count it joy, that peace in your heart, knowing that you can trust your God in that situation, that he's bigger than whatever you have going on, whatever that financial problem, whatever that medical thing is, God is bigger than all of that. Whatever that relational breakdown is, God is bigger than that. He is. That's not a rah-rah pep speech. That's truth in Jesus' name. And so we have to rely on him. He said, I want you to count it pure joy. Trust me, my brothers. And he uses that loving term, just as direct and as hard and as bold as he is. He uses brothers and sisters, loving term, 20 times in the book of James. It says, whenever you face trials, not if ever, it's when you face them. And then it goes, when you face the trials, remember, if everybody's, what's the Christian motto for most Christians today? Do you remember what we said? Is it to face your trial or is it to run away? Most of us run away from every trial. And we talked about the armor. We showed you the shield and the sword. They're made for you to face your trials by faith and the word of God. If you turn around, you have no protection. We run our way from these trials. We keep running. We hide. I got it. It's easier. We think it's better, but it's going to get worse for us in the long run. Face your trials. And it says, I want you to face the trials of many kinds. And so there's all different stuff that's going to help stretch your faith and encourage your faith. It says in verse 3, and here's why. Because you know you can have confidence in this, God is saying. You know that the testing of your faith, the proving, that Greek word means, of your faith, develops perseverance. Now listen, if we don't handle these trials right, they're going to develop other things in us. They're going to develop a lot of depression. If you're not trusting in the Lord, if I don't trust in the Lord, it's going to develop bitterness, anger, because maybe the Lord isn't doing something for me as fast as I want him to do it. Or as quickly. Or I thought he'd work it out this way. There's been times in my life where I feel like I did everything right in the Lord. I expected this little outcome to look just like this in a nice little package with a nice bow because I trusted in the Lord. And you know what? It didn't work out exactly like I planned. But God knows what I need more than I know what I need. And you know, I can tell you, even though I got to tell you, I don't always count it all joy. I know I'm supposed to. I get that. But I'm still growing, okay? I'm still growing. And some of those trials I really didn't like. I really didn't like them. But I can honestly say, now that I'm through the trial, now if you asked me in the trial, I might not have said the same thing. But now that I'm on the other side of that trial, I can say now, looking back, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize I needed that, Lord, that you were going to use that in my life, in others' lives. And I wouldn't change one of them. Yes, Ronnie. Oh, we're going to grab you a microphone, yes. And for those of you who are new here, we allow people to ask questions or share what's on their heart. So.
I just needed to share this because I've been going through a lot of trial and tribulations myself here real quickly. And God, Friday, if I ever thought God was going to be with me, it was that day. I was so afraid of aftermath, what was going to happen. Pastor Darren, when I got out of that biopsy, I never even knew anybody was in my body. I felt God with me for the first time ever, like he was with me. Never one time did I feel a thing in my body.
Thank you,
Lord. And to this day, I never knew it happened.
Thank you, Lord.
That was God. And I raised my hands to him right in that operating room, and I said, "Dear Jesus, you are everywhere, especially with me today."
Yes.
I just wanted to share that for people that don't believe or they think it should happen quicker. He's there. He's there right exactly when you need him.
Absolutely. He is there in the trial. Yes, absolutely. And you know, something happens as we're growing in the Lord, as we walk longer with him. Sometimes those periods get stretched a bit more and more to help us to grow more and more, right? But it's all for our good because we have a loving Heavenly Father. It goes on. We left off with perseverance. And nowadays, unfortunately, a lot of us Christians have a perseverance of like a gnat. If I have to work more than like 30 minutes, it's just a breakdown. I can't take it. God's building you. He's not just building you for this life. He's building you for eternity. Do you know what I'm saying? He's building your character, maybe to match an assignment that you don't even know about yet. And he's saying, man, I want to build you and mold you and shape you. I'm the potter. You're the clay. Allow me, let me, permit me to shape you into whatever fashion I want so that I can use you for my good purposes. Allow it to happen. Let it happen. Allow me to work in and through you. Don't fight me on it. But he does it to develop perseverance. And we talked about that in Hebrews and how he wants us, in Revelation, he talks about us being overcomers. So I'm not going to go through all that again. And in Romans, you know that, I'm saying don't read that. Okay. We talked about rebelling. Do we rebel or run during trials like Jonah? Do we recede like Elijah? I can't help it. Everybody's, I'm the only prophet left. Or are we going to rejoice like Joshua? Do what he says in his word. Trust him with the outcome. That's where the rubber meets the road, right? So this is kind of where we left off, that it develops this perseverance in us. And God's trying to develop that in each one of our hearts. The grumbling, the complaining, God doesn't want that. He wants you to be mature and complete, not lacking anything. 2 Thessalonians 3:5 says, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's what? Perseverance. Listen, what happened to the 12 disciples? Does everybody know? They went through life without problems, and then they died a joyful, peaceful death, watching TV. And no, they were crucified upside down, exiled, boiled in oil, heads chopped off, right? Holy schmolies. But God had instilled in them perseverance. That's what these trials are for. And I realize when we're in them, they just stink. Sometimes. But God wants us to grow from them and to trust him in the trial. Okay? That word perseverance is a neat word, guys. Some of your Bibles say patience in that. And I don't like that one as much because it doesn't bring out the full meaning. The word, as God has developed perseverance or steadfastness, some of your Bibles say, I like that one even better. It's the word in Greek is hupomone. No, it's not. It's hupomenai. Hupomenai is how you pronounce it, but I've heard it said so many times wrong that I call it hupomone. Anyway, so I might interchange the two, but the word basically means, it means a steadfastness, a constancy. It means endurance, continuing perseverance. So he says, you know that the testing of your faith in this way through these trials and tribulation develops this perseverance. And I want you to allow, permit, don't fight me. Let that perseverance finish its work so that you can be mature and complete, not lacking anything, building you towards eternity. And that word perseverance, that hupomone, or yeah, see, I'm guessing. It's not like patience, like we see. Okay, I'm just going to wait for the rapture to happen. I'm saved now. Gave my life to Jesus. So I'm just going to sit around. Rapture.
I'll be good with that. No, nope, not yet today. Well, tomorrow's a new day. No, that's not the idea is a steadfast endurance. I'm working towards the goal. So in other words, I know Christ is coming. Sure, I want to be raptured. Wonderful, take me, Lord. But you know what? Until he comes, I'm going to be working hard, doing what he's called me to do. And I'm going to go through what I need to go through. And I'm going to fight through what I need to fight through. And I'm going to honor him and serve him. Does that make sense? It's the difference if you were waiting for a bus, for a ride. Sometimes we get the idea, oh, I'm going to endure. So I'm just going to sit here and just wait for the bus to come, take me to work. No. It's not that. It's regular life problems. I'm on my way to the bus stop, and it starts raining. Ugh. But I still need to do my work. And then you know what? I'm on my way to the bus stop, and it's raining. And you know what? Some jerk in a car sees me and thinks, hey, look at that big puddle. Whoosh! And you get that walled of the dirty water. Do you know what I'm saying? If you ever splash. Okay, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to get to the bus stop, and it starts to get a little cold, and the wind whips up. Now it's whipping at my face, and it's turning to hail. I'm going to still keep going because I need to do my work. And God has called you to do a work, not to sit on our duffs. Cushies. Okay, so that's the picture. So let that steadfast perseverance, if you run and you hide from all your problems and you just shut down, you will never grow. You'll be stuck there forever because you know what? He's going to keep bringing more stuff in your life until you get through this, whatever you need to get through, because he wants you to grow. If I could summarize that whole section in James, you know, when we're just trusting in the Lord through all this, actively trusting in the Lord, this is the Old Testament verse I would kind of use for that. That patient perseverance, that steadfastness, trusting in the Lord in the trial and in the tribulation. It would be Psalm 46:10. And it says this. And it says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations and exalted among the earth. That word be still in Hebrew is rapha. Rapha. And listen to this. It means relax. It means withdraw. Literally, this is what the Hebrew means for that be still. It's one word, rapha. And it means let it drop or let it go. It's saying let those burdens drop. He's saying, you know what? All those burdens you got, why don't you just cast your cares on Jesus? Why don't you just drop them at the foot of the cross? Why don't you just let Jesus, who loves you, take those burdens from you. Give it to him. Let him have it. What do you got to lose? And don't pick it back up again. Lord, I give you all my burdens. Ah! And I take them back up again 5 minutes later. Let him have it. Let go and trust him. That's what he's trying to do. Develop our trust in him. So if we're going through this, James, and we have an attitude of joy, we count it pure joy, okay? We have an attitude of understanding. We know that the testing of our faith develops this. We can have confidence in the Lord. We trust him. We have an attitude of submission. We're letting perseverance finish its work. We got an attitude of perseverance. We want to be mature and complete, lacking nothing. And then what do we do if we're doing all those things and we still don't get it? You're right. The next one. Thank you, buddy. Number five, an attitude of asking for wisdom. An attitude of asking for wisdom. Now, the Bible says in the next verse there, in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without fault, and it will be given to him. Now, here's the thing with wisdom. That we need to know. Wisdom and knowledge are different. Do you know what I mean? When he's saying I need to ask for wisdom, that doesn't mean you're going to necessarily know absolutely everything that's going on. Knowledge is just raw information.
Wisdom is knowing how to apply that knowledge. Do you understand the difference? Maybe you've known a lot of people who are book smart, but they can't figure out how to adapt it to their life. Do you know what I'm saying? You can find lots of people who are Bible smart, but you don't see that kind of love and kindness and mercy and trust in their lives. Do you notice that? They have knowledge, they have information, but they don't have the wisdom. And so somebody said this one time, I thought it was good. Knowledge is like having the ability to take something apart. If you have kids, sometimes, or my friend, I remember him doing this. I just love to engineer stuff, and he's able to take something apart. And I thought, oh, that's neat. Wisdom is the ability to put it all back together and make it work again. That's a different story. I love this little thing. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, and wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. We need to ask God for wisdom on things, okay? I used to do computer work, so I could tell you exactly what would go on a computer network. If you came to me, you were a business. We would run computer networking services. I know exactly what you need, okay? You'd need to get some, this was back in my day, so if you're up on computers, some of this might not be relevant now. You'd need some 10-100 LAN cards. We'd need to cable your office for Cat 5 because we didn't have Wi-Fi back then. You fancy schmancy Wi-Fi people take it for granted. We'd have to run Cat 5 cabling throughout. We'd need to get yourself a server. We'd have to have a certain amount of RAM in it. We'd need to have a certain amount of hard drive space in it. We would need to update your software packages to make sure they're network compliant. We would need to work on each node, set them all up. We'd have to have a battery backup so if the server fell down, everything wouldn't crash so that, you know, if there was a power surge, it would keep going. We'd have a tape backup. Yes, we used to use tapes, not USBs, if you remember. And it would back up everything on that server because if that crashed, that's where all the information was. Now, I knew how to do all that and I could sell it pretty easily. I could look at, examine, tell you what software, all you need to upgrade your software needs to be network compatible. Now, if somebody said to me, as the salesperson, okay, Darren, now we need you to install that Novell system and set it up on each node, and we need to tweak the software. never want to twerk software. Anyway, we need to tweak the software so that works on the network. You need to reinstall. That's, I would say, I don't have the wisdom for that. I know what it takes, but to actually implement it, install all those things, that's when I'd say, George, batter up, or one of my techs at $95 an hour, get out there. And he would know how to do all those things. That's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Is God saying, I want you to have wisdom. Spurgeon said this. He said, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are the greater fools for it. There is no fool so great a fool as a knowing fool. But to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. I like that. Now, there's two kinds of wisdom the Bible talks about. There's a worldly wisdom that comes from the world. And there's God's wisdom, all right? The Bible puts it this way in James 3:17. There's a wisdom that comes from above. And this is, first of all, pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial and sincere. There's a way to think about things and to do things that honors the Lord, right? And there's a way to do things in the world that honors yourself or the enemy. Like, for example, I put a little example. Like, I know how to get a job the world's way. You simply lie on your resume, say some things that aren't true, right? Your personal interview, you schmooze them, say what you need to say, and then boom, once you're in, then you figure out what to do it. Now, I need to know, I didn't get saved till 30. So I know how to get a girl, right? Okay. Or maybe you would know how to get a guy in the world's way. But I never would teach that to my kids, to my boys, because they're opposite hearts, opposite results. The world's way and God's way are totally different. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a way to live your life.
Listen, if you're living it the world's way, you take advantage of people. Cheat them. Who cares? Because if you're really only out to yourself, cheat on your taxes. Do what you need to do. You know what I'm saying? Get paid under the table. You know what I'm saying. Who cares, right? Or you do it in a way that honors the Lord. There's two kind of wisdoms. So how do we get this wisdom? Okay, we're going to go through five quick things. All right? How do we seek wisdom, or how do we get wisdom? The first, and they're not in any particular order. The first way to get wisdom or seek wisdom is to revere the Lord. The Bible says this. Listen, if you really want to be wise, and you're going through, I'm fear, I'm anxiety, I'm depressed, I'm this and that and the other, you know, my circumstances are overwhelming. Okay, first it comes with, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust in you. It says in the Bible, I did put it down. Psalm 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey his commands will grow in wisdom. Praise him forever. Now, somebody asked, well, the fear of the Lord, I don't want to be scared of him. The word in Hebrew for fear of the Lord, Yirah. The word in Hebrew is yirah, and it means to have an awesome, reverent respect for the Lord. It's when you realize, you know how we were singing how awesome he is? You know, we sing the words, but do we know it in his heart, in our hearts? He is so awesome. He is amazing. That's my God. Probably not. Yes, the fear of the Lord in Hebrew is yirah, and it means an awesome, reverent respect. So it's when you're seeing the Lord as awesome. Okay, so that is the beginning of all wisdom. When you see God is bigger than my problems, he's bigger than my fears, he's bigger than my worry, he's bigger than my anxiety, he's bigger than my bank account, he's bigger than my relationship problems, he's bigger than... I know where I'm going. Without the blood of Jesus, I'm going to hell. But he can save me from all that. Man, he's awesome! He's just as much with me right now as I'm speaking to you guys as he is in a hospital bed. My God is awesome. He never leaves me or forsakes me. That's my God. Listen, you can reject that too, and you can be a fool for it. I'm not calling you. Yeah. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You can have lots of worldly knowledge and ways to do things, but if you don't fear the Lord, you're going to despise it. I don't want to do his ways. I'm going to reject it. I'm going to go my own way. Well, let me tell you, in the end, the wages of that sin is death, the Bible says. There you go. You can have death for your marriage, for your relationship, for your heart, for your soul. When I wrote it in black. I thought it would show up better. Proverbs 1:7. That's in the King James Version. The second thing is how we seek wisdom or get wisdom. We read and respond to God's word. So we revere the Lord. Number two is we read and respond to God's word. And what I mean by that is the Bible says this. It says in Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Just picture in the darkness that lamp, and you're going step by step. So you're staying on the path. So you're not straying. That's what he has. That's what God's word is to you. If it is that to you. Do you know what I mean? Now, sometimes when I'm making these slides, I look to see if somebody else has made a cool slide. And to me, this just showed the contrast between the two wisdoms here, right? Okay, God's word, we read it, we put it in it. David said, I have hid your word in my heart that I wouldn't sin against you. Your word's a lamp unto my feet, right? What do you notice about this slide? I found this one when I was looking. To me, it just contrasts between the Lord. Same verse here, you ready? Same 119, 105. What do you notice that's different? What? Who said that? Mama Hetherington, me.
You're right. I found this. It said, the world is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, I'm like, oh my goodness, that's the opposite, exact opposite meaning of this verse.
Did you notify the person?
You know what? No, I did not. I don't think Google made it. But I took it to say, okay, what a great contrast for you that the Lord has this for you. What a difference. Is the world a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path? Is it? Or is the Lord? See, it's what you choose. Are you hiding his word in your heart? Yes, honey, can we bring a microphone for her? Thank you.
I was going back to what you were just saying about the wisdom and God being greater than your anxiety and everything going wrong. About 2 months ago, I was in a really bad spot, and I didn't even believe in God. Yeah. I had no clue. I had that. I didn't care.
I got it.
And in my situation, I was laying there, and I said, all right, this is the last time. I'm going to put my trust. If you're there, show me something, please, because I was in a really bad spot, and I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't believe in God. I had my F you God moments. I had, you know, just all kinds of bad stuff. And I woke up this morning in a very with a lot of anxiety, a lot of just a lot going on.
Yes.
And first thing my mom asked me this morning when I finally got to calm down, she goes, are you going to church? And I said, yes. And I feel a lot better now. And just asking, you know, like you said, he is greater than everything, because now I don't feel as anxious. I don't feel like the weight of the world's on me and everything. And I'm finding myself paying more and more attention to what you're saying. And I went home last Sunday and I read through my Bible on my own. And
so proud of you.
Things like that I would never have thought doing, you know, because I wanted to do things my way.
Absolutely, right?
And my way wasn't working. And my mom had told me one day, things don't always work the way you want them to.
Yeah.
You need to let God and decide.
Just what we're talking about.
Exactly.
How interesting.
And I had had a conversation with my mom one day, and I don't know where it came from. And I don't even remember what the conversation was about. And she asked me something. I said, God works in mysterious ways, doesn't she? Doesn't he? And she looked at me like, what did you just say?
Yeah, right.
And I don't even know where it came from. It was just
came out of your mouth.
It like it was there. So I really have to, you know, say that God has really put me on a different path since I laid in that bad situation and said, please show me something different.
Yes.
So I can definitely say that it works.
That's awesome. So. Praise the Lord. Now, we just want to encourage you to stay on his path, you know, and, it, you know, and we've all been there. So we just want to encourage you in the Lord. Anything we can do to encourage you in your faith or to strengthen and encourage you, that's what we want to do. I love it. That's awesome. So listen.
Darren?
Yes, somebody's.
Well,
yes.
You were showing the contrast between the two pictures, and I wanted to point out the pictures themselves as well.
Oh, that's good!
The previous picture, they're carrying the lamp, and they're blazing the trail where God leads them. And in the other picture, it's streetlights, and the path is already blazed. You know, with the world, you know, it's already there. But God has us. It's personal.
Yes.
We have to carry him with us, and he's going to take us on a new path.
Not only that, but look at the difference here. Right, Shirley. Exactly. Look at this. We go from black and white to color, baby. The word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. That's what happens when you trust in the Lord. You get it? Now listen, everybody turn to Psalm 119. We're going to read the verses before this. No, not this verse. Before this. Before 119, 105. We're going to. Could you turn the lights, Chris, for just a moment? Psalms is in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 119. I would encourage you all to read that tonight. That's your homework. As you read it, pray and ask the Lord to speak to you, to show you his wisdom. And let's go to, once you get to Psalm 119, around 97. Take a minute and get there. Psalm 119, 119. And then 97. In Psalm 119, even before that, though, it says, your word is, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. I love that. In verse 97, when it's talking about the law of the Lord, or the, it's all talking about the saint, his word, okay? Bringing wisdom. Listen to this, making us wiser, okay? Listen, It says in verse 97 of Psalm 119, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditated on it all day long." That means I just don't get it on Sundays. Listen, if you just get it on Sundays, that's great. But that's not nearly enough. You're getting the world stuff pumped into you 24/7. Come to the Bible studies. Get fellowship. We'll help you. Audio, books. We need to renew our minds, right? Romans says. So verse 98 says, "Your commands make me wiser than my enemies." Hey, that's what God's word does. It'll make you wise, give you wisdom. Verse 99, "I have more insight than all my teachers." Do you know what? Some of you guys, as you're seeking the Lord, you're going to become like, "I can never do what Pastor Darren does." Of course you can. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Listen, I am a knucklehead without the Lord. He is the one that's given me wisdom and insight. In his word, by reading and obeying him, he's given me new insight. And he'll do the same for you. And I hope that you bless and encourage and strengthen many more people than I ever could. Not only that, verse 100 says, "I have more understanding than my elders. For I obey your precepts." It's not just learning it, right? It's obeying it. "I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I may obey your word." Verse 102, "I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. I hate every wrong path." Then it goes on to say in 105, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Hit the lights, Chris, would you? That's what God's word. Now listen, and it's not just reading it, right? It's obeying God's word. Matthew 7, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was talking about wise and foolish builders. And he said this. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words," and look, you read them, you hear them, you get them in here, good for you. "But unless you apply it in your life and obey it, you have knowledge. You don't have wisdom. You have information." I know lots of people that can know a lot about Jesus and a lot about the Bible, but I can tell from their actions, their words, they don't really know him that well. They got it here, but they miss it in their heart. He said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine," what? "And puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." And he goes on to say, verse 26 and 27, and I love this picture because you know that little house is going to be wiped away by the water very shortly. Yeah. It says, "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like" what? "A foolish man who built his house in the sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew again, beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." Click. So, how do we seek wisdom? Number one, revere the Lord. Number two, read and respond to God's word. We must read it and respond to it. Number three, receive. I changed how I said this a few times. Receive others' godly counsel. I first just put receive counsel. And then you know what? I erase that. Because can I tell you stuff? Everybody wants to counsel everybody. And unless it's godly counsel, it's not so good. My friend told me, Billy Bob told me, Cheryl told me. Listen, receive others' godly counsel. That is so important, my friends. Listen. When you're getting counsel, what I've noticed that people that are not doing what's right, they like to go to other people who aren't doing right. "I want to get counsel from you." "Well, I don't want to talk to Pastor Darren because he'll just tell me, here's what the Bible says, blah, 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 something like that. I want to go over this person. They make me feel better about myself. I can do what I want here." It's not about that. Receive godly counsel. Listen, the Bible says this. And guys, listen. Please listen to other. If you're getting godly counsel, half the time I give counsel, yeah, whatever. I'll be like, "Hey, you really need to listen to this." Whatever! Listen, here we go. Proverbs 12:15, New Living Translation, say, "Fools think their own way is right, but the wise" what? "Listen to..." again, in context, godly counsel. Does that make sense, everybody? Okay? Okay. Now, the first thing you do is you listen to the Lord, you listen to the Word, but also God's given us a body here. Okay? What I mean by that is in Corinthians, it says we're a body. We're all different parts. You might be the arm. You might be the hand. You might be the eyes. You might be the ears. Now listen, I picture it this way. A lot of times we can get prideful in our walk or just ignore stuff because we don't want to hear it. Blackaby gave a great illustration one time, and it was of a person going down a train track. Imagine him walking down, and the eyes see in this train track a bright sunny sky, clear as day, no problems, no worries, and he's walking down. And then the feet start feeling a little rumbling. And the feet say, hey, something's wrong. I'm feeling a little rumble jumble. 5 minutes it lasted. Anyway, I'm feeling a little rumble jumble, and something's wrong. Hey, I don't need to hear that from you. I can see perfectly. Nothing's ahead of us at all. And then, you know, the nose says, you know what? I'm smelling something like, I was going to say smoke. Trains even have smoke. Anyway.
Coal,
whatever. You get the idea. I smell like some coal smoke. Nothing. Obviously, you're not very smart. I'm the eyes. I can see clearly. The ears are going, you know what? I'm hearing a train whistle. Listen, you guys don't know what you're talking about. I don't need to listen to that. I can see clearly. And what's going to happen? The train is coming from where? Listen, receive godly counsel from other people who care about you. Don't seek out people who are going to tell you what you want to hear. I know it's nicer. But faithful are the wounds of a friend, bitter are the kisses of an enemy. A friend will tell you what you want to hear. Listen to this verse. I love this. Okay? Holy schmoly, we're not going to get... Okay. Proverbs 11:14. Without wise counsel, people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. There's sometimes, hey, Gary will come to me and say, I don't know this situation. Or I'll come to him and say, I don't know, we pray together. Or I'll ask somebody else that I respect who's been walking with the Lord. I can see their walk in this area. And we need that multitude. We need to listen to others. I like this Proverbs 19:20. Because that's how I see a lot of Christians, unfortunately. The Bible says, listen to advice, Proverbs 19:20, and accept instruction. La, 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 whatever. That you may gain wisdom in the future. Man, if we would just listen to others. So, revere the Lord. Read and respond to God's word. Receive others' godly counsel. Yes, Elijah, you have a question or a comment.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, when usually God's trying to tell us something, you know, in our life, you know, like, hey, you're going the wrong direction, or hey, you need to apply this into your life. It's going to help you. Usually when Christians go, la, 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 I can't hear you, la, 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 and God knows that you really need this, and a huge struggle is coming up in the future, he sometimes would... I don't know, smack you across the face and say, listen, you need to apply this. And then all of a sudden, Christian's like, oh, why are you treating me so bad?
Yes,
I hate you.
Yes.
Why are you so
that
mean?
That is so true. That is true. Yeah, instead of thanking him before, the Lord's like, it's how we respond and our attitude. So then what we need to do also to seek and get wisdom, we need to revere the Lord, read and respond to God's word, receive others' godly counsel. I recognize Jesus more and more. Listen, when you come... That whole relationship with Jesus changes everything in your life. Not just knowing information, but knowing him personally will change everything in your whole life. Your whole perspective will be different. Everything. You're taking that Experiencing God course, Diane. I know you hate being put on the spot. But can you not say as you're growing in your relationship with the Lord that you're seeing things maybe in a newer, fresher way than you ever have in your entire life? When you come to know Jesus more, it changes everything. Everything. Attitudes of the heart. Our life. My direction. It's amazing. So you can either rebel against it or let it happen. Recognize it. Did I spell recognize right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you. Recognize Jesus more and more. Listen. Listen. I felt like I was Flo right there. Listen. Colossians 2:3 in the New Living Translation says, in him, speaking of who?
Jesus.
In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. People are seeking for stuff in all different ways. Jesus Christ is that treasure chest. As you come to know him, treasure after treasure after treasure is given to you. People will say sometimes, you know, you've got you have such amazing kids. Oh, you have such an amazing wife. You have such an amazing this. You have such an amazing people in your church. You have such an amazing. Let me tell you, I know where we'd all be if we didn't know Jesus. My marriage would not be amazing. Our kids would not be amazing. Our church would not be amazing. You get the idea? Your pastor would not be amazing. It would be the antithesis of amazing. That's knowing Jesus. In fact, I love this verse in Acts 4:13. They had, was it Peter and John? Or James and John? Anyway, I think it was Peter and John. Probably nobody cares, but I like to be right. Not I like to be right. I like to be accurate. Thank you. I like to be right. I just like to be accurate when you're talking about God's word. Anyway, so I think it was Peter and John. So Peter and John were taken prisoner, right? And they were brought before the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the church. Many of them were Pharisees, and they had memorized the Torah. And I mean, they're talking about the smartest men in of all the Jews. And they took them before these leaders, and they knew everything about the Bible, but they missed Jesus. And so they just spoke up loudly about Jesus Christ. And they were so blown away. They're like, this guy's a fisherman. These are fishermen. We're these learned people in the pillars in our community. We know all about the Bible. And it says, I'm going to read it to you because I don't have that one. I'm going to read it to you. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Thanks, buddy. Give me just a shake of a cat's tail here. It says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, they said to them, listen, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And then it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. When you spend time with Jesus, that's better than any degree you could ever get. Nothing against degrees. My friend just got a doctorate degree. Now it's Dr. Sherry. I have to call her. But you know what? She's like, a lot of that stuff I learned to get that doctorate opens a lot of doors in the community. He's like, but to be honest, some of that stuff I just throw right out the door and I go back to what Jesus says. Yes! Hallelujah. Yes, you got something.
You said earlier that many times people say, well, I couldn't do that because, you know, he's Pastor Darren.
Yeah.
This verse completely contradicts that.
Sure.
Because when you hang out with Jesus, that's why you are the man you are.
Yes.
If we don't hang out with Jesus,
right,
we ain't going to be like that.
Yes. That's absolutely right. And even then, if you know us, we're not perfect either, so don't you give that. Okay, so listen, Spurgeon said, live in such a way that men or women may recognize that you've been with Jesus. When you come to know him better, when you're reading not for information but to know Jesus better, man, God will change your life and your heart, the way you talk to people, the way you think, everything. Okay, so here we go. I even got through a verse, okay. So how do we seek wisdom? Revere the Lord, read and respond to God's word, receive others' godly counsel, recognize Jesus more and more, and here's the last one, I didn't highlight it, but request it. Request that wisdom in prayer. Okay? Listen, the Bible said, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask. Listen, I don't know why I'm going through this trial. Lord, are you trying to show me something in this? Lord, are you trying to teach me something in this? I don't understand. Lord, I don't get it. I thought I was doing, I've gone to him and said, Lord, I thought I was doing everything right here. Why am I going through this? And sometimes he's even said, you know, it's not about you. Yeah. Or maybe I'm going to use this to help somebody else down the line. Or maybe you didn't realize that you had a problem here. There's times where I've been like, God, I'm good in this area. And I realized as I'm going through the trial, I'm not so good in this area. I thought I was okay. Ask him. Listen, Matthew 7, verse 7 to 8. And the verb tense to these is a continual thing. It's in other words like, hey, I prayed once, Lord, give me wisdom. Okay, that's it. You didn't do it. I'm out. It says ask, continue to ask is the verb tense, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Luke 18:1 says to pray, always pray and never give up. Jesus told a parable about that. Just pray, don't give up. Ask for that wisdom. Lord, help me, I don't understand. But we have to make sure, because we're not in a name it and claim it society, you don't get everything you want. Lord, I don't know why. Where's my wallet? Let me speak to my wallet. Wallet, I want you full of $100 bills. Bank account, I just speak it. You're $1 million worth in there right now. The point is, it's not grab it, it's not blab it and grab it, name it and claim it, and when you get what you want. Lord, I want a Lamborghini because I don't have good transportation. No, it says this is the confidence we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us and he'll give it to us. Listen, would Jesus want you driving a Lamborghini? Just saying, probably not. Wouldn't be the best witness. Just saying, if you drive a Lamborghini, it's not offending him. Just something to think about, okay? So here we go. I don't really like, I shouldn't even say that. Anyway, James McDonald said, people who persist in prayer don't lose heart. People who lose heart don't persist in prayer. Now listen, if you're praying, God sometimes gives me the answer right away. I love that. You felt, you know, you were right there with you. That's wonderful. But as we mature, so he'll stretch us and mature us and mature us. And that time span kind of grows sometimes. And then there are times where I didn't get my answer when I was praying for that trial. I went through a long trial, didn't get it. I got it much, much later, a year or two later. I'm like, Lord, now I understand. And it's all clear to me now. So listen, don't give up on God. It says, if any of you, and I'm an any, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God who gives what? Generously, lavishly to some of the people, to the spiritual people. So are you an all?
Yes.
And without finding fault, he's not coming to me. He's not thinking, oh, you're coming to me now, are you? Because now you're in trouble. Oh, now you're going to come to me? That's not his attitude. Without finding fault, that's not his heart for you. And it says it will be given. And listen, it will be given. It might be during that trial. It might be immediate. It might be a little bit later. It might be years later. But he's going to give it to you. You have to trust him in it. Hezekiah, you have a questione. As I look to see.
More of a comment. So like in the experience in God that we were learning about, weren't we learning about that like God can be silent for like so that his glory can be revealed and you know in like a better way or something like that? Like I remember.
Yes.
Reading that. So it's like sometimes we don't hear from God just because he wants to test us and show us. It doesn't mean he's not there or he doesn't care. So.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Sometimes those silences are a test too to see what's in your heart. I think I'm all good with God. Now I'm screaming. God's not answering right now. Now I'm throwing a temper tantrum. Sometimes somebody's kids, they're looking great and then all of a sudden they don't get what they want. And they're all, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, I'm happy to do that for you. And then they don't get what they want. Oh, that's in there, is it? You're not getting what you want. Sometimes God does that to me. And maybe he does that to you, too. And it's to reveal an area that we need to work on. Does that make sense, everybody?
Pastor Darren, even when I was in the operating room, the entire conversation was
yes.
not just about what was going on with me, but all of us were talking about the Lord. And when I was at the doctor's office before all of this happened, my doctor sat right there and she said, you know what? Even if they pop up with the worst thing, what's the greatest thing you're going to get? Heaven.
Yes.
Okay. And my doctor's telling me this.
Right.
And everybody at that hospital that day, while we were in there, it was all talking about
yes.
God. I'm just looking around thinking, you know, because a lot of doctors and stuff like that, they go science-wise or
yeah.
a lot,
oh, yeah.
you know. But here, every one of those people was talking about God to me.
You know what, though?
That it was just, it was the coolest thing. I don't know how to say it any better. It was just
great.
So cool and so, it was just wonderful, just wonderful.
I may be wrong here, but part of it, though, is because you had an attitude to trust in the Lord. You see, that attitude is contagious. And that opens the door for them to have. As you're shining your light, you're in a bad situation. And you're talking about Jesus, and you're crying out to them, and they're like, hey, oh, okay, yeah. See, you being a witness in that trial speaks volumes. Sometimes I don't know the right words to say. When I was with their family, and their dad is at death's door, and you know, I talked to him a week ago, and he's fine, or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, you don't always have the right words to say. But you know what? I was there. And my attitude, hey, we're here, we love you, we're praying for you, people are praying. That attitude, in the midst of that, you could see them beaming. You could see them, one of them. Anyway, I could tell you this. But the bottom line is, those attitudes are contagious. That shines for the Lord. See, that doesn't make sense. You shouldn't have that attitude. Andy, with what's going on in your body, in your life, you're still praising the Lord does not compute.
It does to me.
It does to you because you trust in the Lord no matter what happens. As you do that, that witness and testimony goes out. Does that make sense, guys? Oh, there's so much more. I gotta stop. Okay. Couple of hands in the back.
Well, I just wanted to say, when I was having, right before I was having my heart surgery, we had just met the doctor that was going to do it, and Mark point blank, first thing he did was to ask him if he was a believer. That was very important.
Yes. You know what? Even just that being that witness right there. I remember when you had the heart problem. And after the surgery, or I don't know if it was after or before, but you going to that little church, that little depressed church, desperate, and you bringing a message, you being a witness in the midst of your trial, you're not thinking of just yourself, you're thinking, Lord, how can I be a blessing to you and to be a blessing to others? Greg, were you going to say that?
Yeah, I asked the same question to my surgeon when I had the surgery that I asked to Debbie's doctor, why are you the best? And he didn't give himself any glory. He just said, before every surgery, my team and I surrender our hands to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, wow.
And that's it. And I said, he's the doctor. Because when he walked in, he couldn't have been more than 5'6". And I said, this little shrimp is going to be my wife's doctor? I mean, I was like, if you ain't the right guy, we're going to find out right now. But man, he grew about 4 feet.
Amen.
When he said what he did.
Amen. Right back in the back. Oh, there's such good stuff coming up.
The last day I was in the hospital last week, me and my roommate, we couldn't sleep. So we started working. She looked up online the workbook that we're doing. And we started doing it. The nurse comes in and says, what are you guys doing? You're not supposed to be doing this. She went and got all the nurses, including the head nurse, to let us to show that.
So here you are in intensive care, working on your experiencing God homework.
Mm-hmm.
And then nurses are going and taking a look at it. The people next to you in intensive care, they're like, hey, I want to be in that course.
This whole class.
That doesn't make sense.
And then when I got on the fourth floor, my other roommate wanted to take the course. Miss Kim told her about it, and now she's texting me, asking me for help.
Yes.
So it was just like, it was just weird.
Yes. But see, but God, here's the thing. Yes, it is weird. But you know what? God doesn't want it to be weird. God wants it to be normal for you. And that comes only as you trust in him. Sometimes that's minute by minute, day by day. Some of you getting here is trusting in the Lord. I got here. Thank you, Lord. You had victory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Some of us, it's on intensive care and I might be dying. And I'm doing my experiencing God work to draw nearer to the Lord. All these things. God has a different perspective on things. And I'll just close with these things. I want you to think about, we need to orient our heart and our mind and our thoughts to God's perspective on things. It's eternal, right? We're always looking at the here and now. David and Goliath, right? When everybody was looking at this big old Goliath coming out in his armor, this massive fighting machine, everybody was scared and running and crying, you know, to their mommies, these blade warriors. And here comes little David. And he's like, hey, talking to his big brothers in the army. He's like, what is this guy out here mocking the Lord? What pagan God is he worshiping? We serve the Lord our God. And they're like, shush, David, oh, you think you're all that in a bag of chips because you're back here behind the line. Keep your mouth shut. He's like, I'll go take him on. Now, from a person's perspective, the brothers actually ridiculed him and mocked him. Said, who are you, you little brat? So he's like, and then Saul, King Saul, put on, right, his armor on David. Of course, it didn't fit. He's like, I just need a sling and a stone. I've been trusting the Lord since I was a little kid. You know, I trust him. I just need a stone. Give me a sling. And he went out there. You know the rest of the story. Took one smooth stone. And down he goes. Think about Moses when he was letting the people go, right? He's talking before Pharaoh, right? Let my people go. I think of it as Heston. It probably wasn't like that because he was stuttered. But anyway, my Lord, my God. Anyway, so he's there talking to the Pharaoh, right? And he's telling to let this people go, right? From slavery, from Egypt. Let them go. And he's like, okay, they're slaves. He's like, you know what, Moses? Let me tell you what. I'm going to give them half as much straw, and they're still going to have just as much work. I'm going to give them half the resources, and they'll have to work just as hard. And all the people, they were so mad at Moses. And he's like, did I do the wrong thing? Did I do the wrong? No, he didn't. He just had to persevere in the Lord. Listen, we need to orient our perspective to God's perspective, to what his word says to us. If we want to be the witness we want to be, you don't need necessarily more information. You do need more information, but you need the application of that in your life. So let's stop and let's ask God right now for wisdom together. Can we do that?
Yes.
All right, and let's pray. Father, we just want to first ask you for your wisdom that comes from above, Lord, in every one of our situations and in our lives, Lord. We're not coming to you proud. We're actually desperate, Lord. And I know we didn't get to it, but your word also says right after that that we need to believe, Lord God, and not doubt. So we believe, Lord, that you're going to do this for us because your word says you will give it to us, Lord. And we're going to trust you, Lord God, in this situation, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would raise up us, each man, woman, child here, teen here, to be a strong man or woman of God, Lord, that seeks your wisdom, not the world's wisdom, Lord, but your wisdom, Lord, and then applies it to their life, Lord God, so that people can look at them and say, I see something different. I want what they have. And I ask, Lord, that you would bless each person with your wisdom, Lord, that they would be drawn closer to yourself, Lord. Myself, please, Lord, included. We ask your blessing on this congregation, Lord, on every person that's here and missing today, Lord God, that your blessing would be on them, Lord, your encouragement, your strength, your stability, Lord, and that they would come to know you, Lord, in a new, fresh way. And if there's anyone here who doesn't know you,
that hasn't made that commitment, I pray right now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation, that they will just say to you, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've been going the wrong way from you. I've been running from you, Lord. But today, Lord, as best as I know how, I put my trust in you for salvation, Lord. For your finished work of the cross, you took my place on the cross, Lord. You bore my sin, Lord. Your blood was shed for me to cleanse me from all sin, Lord God. And you rose again, Lord, on the third day, Lord. Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you would save me and that you would set me on a new path, Lord, a new direction in my life, and that I would never again divert from that path, Lord God, that you would keep me close to you, knowing more about you every day of my life, Lord. And as best as I know, I give you my heart and I give you the rest of my life, Lord. If my days are one day or 100 years, I give it all to you. Help me to live for you and glorify your name through any trial or tribulation that comes my way. I give you my life now, Lord. We give you our lives now. And we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 And amen. God bless you guys. We love you. Have a great week in Jesus' name.